Kevin a heads up on what the lesson's about. He gave away the punchline of the story that we're going to start out with. It's nice, and I appreciate and want to thank the elders for the opportunity to come before everybody. It gives me a chance to remember how great a job security Everett actually has. Now, it is good practice to dust off old skills and make sure you still have it in case you ever do need to present lessons in front of a congregation. But as some of you may know, I entitled this lesson, "So My Wife Bought a Couch." And a lot of people, when they look at me, when I tell them that, they're, okay, why is that? And I'll tell you the story behind it. And I don't know about the rest of the people that develop lessons for a Sunday night talk. I usually start off with two or three good ideas that I think, and then getting up some rough points on them. And as I develop them and whatnot, something happened during that week, and I thought it was good to kind of step in and use that example for this lesson, and then this lesson decided to take and roll on and developed into a full lesson. So to start off with a quick story. So we, little background, if you didn't know, me and my wife, we lost a home, lived in an RV, built a home, and when you move from an RV to a home, you don't have a whole lot of stuff. One of the things we lacked was furniture, you know, because that stayed with the RV and went on. Some friends of ours that were getting rid of a couch actually gave us a couch, and we were very grateful. And it was a fake leather couch, and when they gave it away, it was, if you don't know about fake leather couches, if you don't take care of them, they start to peel, and the hide or whatever you want to call it starts flaking off. Well, it wasn't too bad. And again, it's a free couch, and we didn't have one, so we took it. 3 years later, we've put a slip cover on it, and every time you sit on it, man, this thing is shedding worse than a golden retriever in the middle of summer. I mean, it's throwing stuff everywhere. So Michelle's like, before this new baby comes, we're going to have a new couch. All right, that's fine. It's not on the high priority list. Give us a little bit. Let's get the money saved up. We'll get one. Well, we got to that point, and I said, okay, you know, it's time to look for a couch. That's all she needed to hear. She started looking for a couch immediately, and I was inundated with all kinds of offers, or this couch or that couch, things of that nature. But eventually she did come on to a couch that we agreed upon, and she worked it out. She bought it off of, I think it was Letgo, one of these local Craigslist kind of things. She negotiated the price and set up a time with the seller. And so now it's my turn to step in, go get this thing and bring it to the house. So she's telling me about it, and it shows me a picture. And okay, I see what it looks like. She gives me the address. I plug it into my phone. Later I find that my phone didn't save it, or I didn't hit the right button, so I don't have the address. But she tells me the name of the seller, and I go, ah, that's someone that my father used to work with down at the co-op. He knows where he lives. You know, this is fine. I'm going to ask him to help me load this thing anyway, so I'll just go off of his directions. Well, we get in the van, and we're heading that way. We're going to load up this couch, and I did not think a couch would fit in the van, but turns out they do. That was quite interesting. But we get to the gentleman's house that he recognized, and the one thing that I heard Michelle say was this was a new construction house. Well, we get to this the man's residence, and it's a nice house, but it's not new construction. And I'm thinking to myself, this isn't right. Well, it turns out this gentleman is a senior. He also has a son by the same name. Luckily, they happen to live right next door to each other, and when Michelle is telling me these directions and the address and things of that nature, all I heard was, hey, you're going to go pick up a couch from so-and-so. He's at this address. It's a new construction. Wah, 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 wah. You know, I get Charlie Brown's mother. I say, okay, I've got enough information. I can get there. I can get this done. So needless to say, you know, we back out of the driveway. We find it. We get it. Let's get it home. But, you know, it's one of those things that I know that I find a problem with actually listening sometimes. And I don't know if by a show of hands, the men in the congregation, do you ever have a problem with, you know, fully listening? I see Everett already shaking his head saying no. I'm about to say no one's raised their hand. So every one of you men that have a wife, y'all are getting another sermon on the way home. I'm just going to tell you that. So leading into what the lesson is actually about, and that's about listening and fully listening and acting and, you know, upon what you've heard. And, you know, we see in the Bible that during Jesus' ministry, and I'm going to go ahead and give a disclaimer. I don't have a PowerPoint. I should have a PowerPoint because I know I've done pretty good right now. But as time goes on, I'm going to pick up speed, and we're going to start rolling through this, and I'm going to start naming some verses. So I'll try to slow down, give you time, but have your Bibles ready to flip to some verses as we go. But we see in Jesus' ministry, especially there in early, just to cite a couple of early examples, we see that Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We see this when he's talking about John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11. And then we see it again twice in actually Matthew 13, where he's talking first about the parable of the sower. And then the explanation of the tares later in that chapter. We also see that in the book of Revelation, there in chapters 2 and 3, that he ends each one of those letters to the churches with, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches." So in him making these comments, we see that this is an important thing or something that we should be paying attention to. If you would, turn over to Mark chapter 4. This is a good example of why he's telling us, you know, to be hearing. And starting there again, Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 23. "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same manner you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." So again, this problem is something that existed in Jesus' time. And I would venture to say that human nature hasn't changed a whole lot. And we, at least I know that I, suffer from sometimes not listening as well either. So anyway, like I said, I figured this would make for a good discussion, well, not discussion, but a talk for this evening, because it concerned Jesus during his time. So we have to ask, how well do we actually listen? We'll discuss three different types of hearing problems, we'll say. Ones that are dull of hearing, those that have itching ears, and those that could be said that they have a heart or a noble and good heart when it comes to listening. If you would, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 5. We see that the Hebrew writer wrote to the Christians there, saying in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, "To whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." Note that this is a problem that is usually with the listener. It's not in so much that the topic is hard or the subject matter at hand is a difficult one to explain. It's not usually a problem with the presenter, but it's one with the listener himself. If we turn over to Matthew 13, we see that Isaiah wrote and Jesus applied in his day, that over in Matthew 13, starting in verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." People are this way because they have a dull heart, and this prevents them from understanding God's truth, from being able to turn away from sin unto God, and ultimately being saved by God. I don't know of anybody that would want to be this type of listener. Moving on to our second one, those that have itching ears. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here we see that Paul describes in writing the letter to Timothy, that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, and will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they will turn aside to fables." Such people listen only to which is pleasing to them. This is, I would say, would be a very common problem, especially with today, because there are so many churches, it doesn't take long to find one that if you didn't listen to sound doctrine or heed it, you could find whatever you liked. There are a multitude of different religions that could cater to you and tell you exactly what you want to hear. But we'll back up in that same chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4, back up to verse 2. We get our instructions here. "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, and all long-suffering and teaching." They will, again, this is a problem that affects many people in the world today, of just finding what they want to hear. Then we have those that I'd categorize as having a heart, or a noble and good heart, excuse me. If you would, turn over to Luke chapter 8. Here we see Jesus giving the parable of the sower. And to read verse 15 there in Luke chapter 8. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And as Kevin read for us just a moment ago in the Bereans over in Acts 17, verse 11, the Bereans are described as these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The description that they use, especially in the New King James Version, of them being fair-minded, really indicates that they were, not only did they hear and listen to it, but they gave Paul a fair chance to present the material to them, and then they showed a readiness, as it states, that they received. They listened to the word and put it to the test and searched the scriptures. I think this is the type of listener that we would want to emulate today. Now, as far as the importance of good listening, well, there are several reasons why, you know, obviously it's important. One, we could start off with saying that it creates a saving faith. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 1. We see that God has ordained that we will be saved by faith, along with other things. But the importance at this point in the New Testament is discussing faith. In Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first, and then also for the Greeks. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Amen. Such faith comes from proclaiming the gospel, often involving listening to a preacher, much as Everett was talking about this morning. If we turn over a few chapters there to Romans chapter 10, we find in verse 14 that, "How then shall they call on him who have not believed, and how shall they believe in him who have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher?" So we have a commandment to go out and spread the word. And that's probably what I would venture to say, that probably 90%, maybe even 95, 99% of us had the gospel spoken to us, and that's how we learned it. Now, I'm not saying that someone couldn't pick up God's word and learn it on their own. I think we see an example of that in John chapter 20, the end of it towards verse 30. But the fact remains that most of us have heard the word proclaimed at some point in our lives, and that's probably what led us to dig in deeper and hopefully develop our own faith. I think that being a good listener is essential to bearing fruit. As I was just speaking with there about in Romans chapter 10, if you want to remember back in Luke chapter 8, again there in verse 15 of the sower, we won't go back to read it again. But in that parable, the only kind of soil or heart that is capable of bearing fruit is the good soil. We also see this over in Colossians chapter 1. That is because bearing fruit comes from understanding of the grace of God. In Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 6, "Which has come to you, as it is also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth." We see since that day that you heard or knew, the New American Standard says the word understood, and I think that is a good wording of that verse, only because that emphasizes the fact that we have to understand what we're reading, and that's how we produce fruit, is by understanding and presenting it to others. I think hearing the word and being a good listener as we are learning the word also is essential in preventing apostasy. If you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Here we see the danger of drifting by neglect, in so much that he says here, calling it so great a salvation, and what we're not if we don't take heed to it. Again, Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and that was confirmed to us by those who heard him? The only solution is to give the word, and what we hear by being a good listener is to give it heed and honest and take it for what it is. Another, I think it's also in being a good listener, you're also avoiding rejection or condemnation. If we do not listen as we should, over in Matthew chapter 10, we see starting in verse 14 that those who teach the word of God also have the right to reject us. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 14. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, then when you depart from the house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And not to say that these examples would be condemning us, but in two examples that I thought of as far as the people of Nineveh for having Jonah to come and preach one lesson and the city of Nineveh completely turn and obey God. But then also the queen of the south that came to hear Solomon. The people in Nineveh, again, having one time heard the word of God, how much better off are we that we've had multiple, or at least most of us in our lifetimes, will have had multiple opportunities to hear the word of God. The queen of the south that came to speak with Solomon traveled a great distance. I was thinking, as far as this example, as far as how far do we have to travel in the ease of which we do travel to come hear the Lord. These two examples alone, and there are many others that are much better than these two, but even at the least of these, it could show the rejection of that, or by these examples, but far more the rejection that we have to worry about and the condemnation comes from God. Steps that we can make towards being a better listener. I think that in being a better listener, we have to actually, to a degree, make it within ourselves an act of worship. I'm not saying that it is an act of worship as far as the Lord's table or praying, singing, things of that nature. I'm saying within us we have to be diligent about it and have, I'm going to call it a worshipful attitude. Being able to listen to someone who's great or a famous person is easy for us to do, but how much more dedication should we give to listening to someone who is proclaiming the word of God? We must also be able to listen from the first until the last, being able to pay attention. You wouldn't want to try to read a novel by just grabbing a sentence here and there and a little piece here and skipping a chapter and going on. It is more that we must listen to the whole message that is being presented to us. Most speakers try to create a topic or a sermon where they have an introduction. They've got some main points in the middle and then wrapping up the summary and a conclusion. Don't worry, we're almost to that point. But another thing is to also, to be a good listener, one of the things that we have to work on is to be able to look at the speaker and concentrate on that. Now, I'm sorry, I'm not the most to look at, and one thing that I find by sitting over there by a window is that I'll see a lizard just all of a sudden jump on the screen or something like that, and that's, me and my wife call it a squirrel syndrome, that you can be talking about something and all of a sudden your attention is diverted. That's a problem that I have to work on, and I would venture to say I'm probably not the only one out there that has that easily a burden. But if you're able to make eye contact and stay steadily focused, that helps you being able to listen to what is actually being presented to you. Another thing for us here is to be able to follow along and read in the Bible. As I was going through some of those passages, I could hear a lot of pages turning. A lot of people, including myself, I'm a visual and hearing learner. If I have to sit there and write something or think of it on my own, it takes me a lot longer to actually learn something. But if I can see it in front of me or hear it spoken to me, I can usually pick things up a lot quicker. So if we're able to read along and turn in our Bible, although at the beginning it's harder to find those passages, you may flip by the book many times till you find it, keep at it. You'll be able to find your way through the Bible much easier with much practice. And then then at the very end of the day, it comes down to listening with a mind to act. We see over in Ezekiel 33, and I won't take the time to read the chapter, but the people in Ezekiel's day, we see that they loved to hear the word spoken, but it was more just to see it presented. Ezekiel laments the fact that many of the people were coming for the wrong reason. They didn't act on it. They didn't do anything with it. They heard it, invited people, but didn't carry on through with it there around verses 30 and 32. For anything that we hear, especially out of this pulpit or from anybody presenting the gospel to us, we have to be willing to act upon it. And I thought Everett's lesson this morning was a good, I thought it'd be good timing, or I thought it was good timing that he presented that lesson, and then I could discuss this evening. So we have to be able and ready to act. So to be blessed in what we do, that is a goal in presenting these thoughts tonight as far as listening, and from it all beginning with listening in a proper way. How important would I say that listening is? I would probably say that it is very important, especially when we're talking about God's word being proclaimed. It is essential to having a good soul. Is there ever a time that God does not listen to us? And that the answer to that is yes. It's when our sins become in between us and God. And although I'm not saying that God doesn't hear a sinner's prayer, I think there are some caveats there. But if we allow our sins to stay, you know, at least those that are saved and our sins stay in between us, I guess even those that aren't saved, but if our sins are in between us and God, we're not in a right relationship there. Today we have the offering or the mercy that God has shown through the offering of his son, Jesus Christ, in to save us. I'll read one more passage for you, and then I'll leave it with you tonight. If you would, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, I'm going to start in verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John his brother, led them up high on a mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshone them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. If you have not hearkened the call of Jesus this evening, all preparations are made, and we would be greatly appreciative to help you get in a right relationship with God. If you are such that you are wishing to respond to the call of Jesus, please come forward as we stand and sing.